Good morning. Well, I'm here. As I've been sharing with some of you, I'm in the process of being discovered as to some health issues that are going on in my body. And on Tuesday, my next test will be an MRI that will they'll go in and stuff me down in a tube and figure out if what's going on with the spine, and if that is a problem, or if that is what's causing a pain on my left side. I had a stress test this past week, and that came back normal, which means the heart is not the culprit at this point. So we can be thankful that there's the medical profession that's helping me, or coming alongside me, and doing what needs to be done. So I won't be preaching hellfire and brimstone today, but we will see what God has in store for us. A couple of announcements right after our service. As many of you know, is our annual meeting. We'll meet downstairs for coffee and conversation, and then following that will be the giving of our reports. And I love the annual meetings because It's a time to give thanks to God for his faithfulness over not only over the years, but also over this previous year, especially in the midst of a pandemic. When I first started writing my report this year and started to think, I thought, what did we do this year? But as I went back, I thought, we've accomplished a lot, and God has used us in a number of ways. So I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the reports and then giving thanks to God for his activity in us and through us. Because of COVID, we were scheduled to offer a chapel service at Waterview Pines this afternoon. That has been canceled for the residents. I believe that's all of the announcements. Let's stand and to read responsively our call to worship. Please stand. Offer God your worship and your praise. Before God formed us in our mother's womb, God knew and loved us. Offer Christ your love and your devotion. Before we drew our first breath, Christ consecrated us as his own. Offer the Spirit your gratitude and your thanksgiving. Before we heard the call to heal the world, the Spirit sustains our every heartbeat. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we will offer God our worship and our praise. Indeed, let us do that by turning in our hymn book to number 437, How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord.
To you he has said, to you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy, wonderful presence that enables us to stand on a firm, firm foundation. We thank you that you walk with us, you talk with us, you show us your glory from day to day, empowering us to be what you have called us to be, your disciples. Open our hearts and our minds this morning to receive from your word, your truth, that we might live out in obedience and faith what you are seeking to empower us to do. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah. In the Pew Bible, it's page 577, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. And this is the call of Jeremiah the prophet. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Then our New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. In the Pew Bible, it's page 876. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love."
We'll call upon our usher to receive our morning tithes and gifts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for opportunity to give of ourselves to you and so bring you glory. We ask now for your blessing upon these gifts and as well as givers for the furtherance of your good news in and through this place for your honor and for our neighbor's good. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and give praise to God. Seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life you have lived in before us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is our master, our teacher, our rabbi. He is the one who not only teaches us your ways, but has demonstrated to us how it is all to be lived out. And then through your Spirit, you lead and guide us and fashion us and mold us to become just like your Son, Jesus, that enables us to live the Christ life and so bring you glory, as well as it empowers us to do the works of ministry to which you have called us. Lord, we thank you for such a gift and such an empowerment that enables us to be what you have created us to be. In these days, O Lord, we come to you and as we experience our world and not only abroad, but also in the close proximity. Father, we know that you are a God who is seeking to bring peace and wholeness into our world. And you are using us, your people, to do such as your will to be done. And so we pray, Lord, that your peace will reign, not only someday, but even now in hearts and lives as people are open to receiving what you have in store for them. Father, as you are seeking to bring peace in this world, pour out your love, O God. Pour out your love in a way that we may experience this love as well as express the love to one another and to the world. Father, you have a call on our lives. You have called us out of darkness into your light. You call us, O Lord, as you called the first disciples, to show in them and through them your work, your Father's work, as you revealed your glory. Father, may we be receptive to your call on our lives, that we may respond in faith and obedience. May we allow you to accompany us in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in our lives and in the life of this world, that your hand, your mighty hand, would be revealed and your glory would shine, not only in and through our hearts, but in the world. We look forward to the day when your glory will reign throughout all the world. And we thank you that you have called each and every one of us to be a part of building your kingdom and revealing your glory as we allow Christ to live in us and through us. Father, we thank you for the gifts you have given to us, gifts that help us along the way, friends and neighbors, as well as medical professions and those who are on the front lines. Lord, we lift these people up to you, and we thank you for them. We also thank you that you are giving them the strength that is needed, and especially as minds and hearts and bodies wear out through excessive work, working beyond the call of duty. Lord, bless them. May they sense a special anointing even today, even as we pray, for the work that they are doing in helping others. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this world. Thank you for this church and for the work that you continue to do in us and through us. We thank you for the annual meeting and in just a few short minutes where we will celebrate your goodness to us, and may we see you at work in the midst of the work you have called us to do. And as we look forward to this new year, O Lord, may we anticipate open doors that will allow us to see you at work even more. For your honor, for your glory, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we think of our God, we must think of him in all of his glory, in all of his grace. And we are recipients of his grace and his glory. Let's remain seated and sing about that grace and glory by turning in our hymn books to number 608. 608, God of Grace, God of Glory.
Save us from oppressive nation to the
Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 2. This is the text that was to be read 2 weeks ago, and I have been prepared to deliver a message since that time. So I've had three weeks to prepare for this message. So we may go a little longer, because every day I put in a little bit more. But then I had to extract quite a bit at the end. But it's a wonderful story in one of the first times that God, through his son Jesus, reveals his glory of who he was as the Son of God and the Son of Man. John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus replied, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. A number of years ago, on the Ellen Show, there was a lady named Gladys. You see, Gladys got onto the Ellen Show because she wrote a letter to Ellen complaining about where the plants were placed on the set. And apparently this letter rather piqued Ellen's interest in just who this Gladys lady was and what she was really up to. So during one of her shows, Ellen called Gladys on the telephone. And Ellen asked Gladys, "Have you ever been on TV before?" And this is Gladys' response, "Well, no." And then she said, "But I love Jesus, but I drink a little." Now, I'm not sure why she answered that way. Ellen hadn't asked her a theological question at all. "I love Jesus," she said, "but I drink a little." Let's ponder that statement for just a moment today. "I love Jesus, but I drink a little." You know that there is a lot of truth to that statement for a lot of people, including myself. Sometimes in my own life, there's this type of thing. "I love Jesus, but..." How about you? For some, it might be, "I love Jesus, but I talk a little bit too much behind other people's backs." Or, "I love Jesus, but I use words that hurt people sometimes." Or maybe it's, "I love Jesus, but I work at a job and make a little too much money, of which I don't give back to the church." And it could go on and on and on. We all have our weaknesses in our own lives, and oftentimes we allow those weaknesses to keep us from experiencing God's transforming love and power. So there is often this hanging however in our faith. What might be your hanging, however? Is there anything getting in the way of your walk with Jesus? You probably have heard about something called phantom pain. This happens to people who have had a limb amputated. For instance, if it was a person's arm that had been removed, the person's brain still remembers the pain and sends out pain signals. Doctors have to retrain people by having them face a mirror and tell their brain that their arm is no longer there. And over time, the brain learns, and the people get better, and they are free from the pain. After accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our sin and its penalty have been erased. They have been removed, amputated, if you will. Yet we don't always live as though we are free from the pain and the bondage of sin. Some of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves because of our past. We may still suffer from old guilt and self-condemnation. This is a kind of phantom pain. And this guilt and thinking that we are not good enough for God's grace can stunt our Christian growth and cause us to want to give up or lead us into more sin. Do you love Jesus? But it may very well be nearly impossible to follow Christ if we love Jesus. But during our week of prayer, we had a wonderful opportunity to listen to 7 testimonies of women who were liberated from the bondage of sex trafficking. On day 4, we heard the story of Sophia, who was experiencing the phantom pain of her past. Listen to her story one more time as she tells being transformed as she begins to listen to what God was saying to her. The Lord has given you this day for you to enjoy. You are incredibly loved and worthy of every second of it. Sometimes it is tempting to fall for the lies that say we are worthless and destined for defeat. I sometimes struggle to believe I am lovable due to abuse and other life experiences. Being free in Christ empowers us to live our lives in love and to lead by example in doing so. Our experiences alone do not define us, nor do they determine our life's purpose. Each of us was created for great things and is more precious and valuable than any gem. When I first arrived at New Day for Children, I had significant injuries and medical issues. When I entered care, I received tools to help heal my body and my mind. One caseworker kept telling me how loved I was. That statement was very confusing to me. I was in this situation because of the people who were supposed to love me. But I began to see that I was loved by the people of God had brought into my life, and most of all, by God himself. And to counteract the lies that had been spoken over me, I regularly asked myself, how does God see me? I now know that God sees me as precious, priceless, and worthy of love and care. I do not need to fear where I will end up or what will become of me because God has my back. I know this because God has led me to the path of freedom and redemption. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said to someone, "Follow me." But the person replied, "I will follow you, but Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the good news of God's kingdom." Someone else said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house. And Jesus' reply, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When Jesus calls us, we are to forsake our own old lives. The grace of Jesus' call bursts all the bonds of sin and legalism. It breaks all the bonds of the old life, the old self. The call of Jesus is stronger than any barrier. As we face the call of Christ on our lives, we are challenged to come face to face with ourselves in the mirror of God's grace-filled word. And as we do this, we too can be healed from the phantom pain, the guilt, the sin, and be set free to follow Jesus in grace and with confidence. As we read the story of the wedding in John chapter 2, the scripture draws us to think about John chapter 1, in which there was this ragtag group of disciples who Jesus comes to and asks them to follow him. And they are just a group of ordinary people. And the only thing they know is that they have been chosen to follow this guy named Jesus. And I wonder if they didn't sometimes say to themselves, we want to follow this guy, but... So the question really becomes, how does Jesus begin to mold and shape this group of disciples to become the people that he will send out to reach the world? And the Gospel of John tells us that on the third day, meaning that after 3 days after the disciples were chosen to follow Jesus, on the third day, Jesus does something miraculous to show God's glory to those around him. And it's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And it's an interesting situation. They're at a wedding. And in the Middle Eastern weddings in the first century, they lasted a very long time, at least 1 week. And at this wedding, it just so happens that the host runs out of wine. And so Mary comes to Jesus and basically says to him, they're out of wine. To which Jesus responds, basically, it's not my problem. I mean, he's not the host of the wedding, is he? And here is a fantastic thing about this passage. Even though Jesus says, it's not my time, Jesus does what his mother had asked him to do. Jesus is a pretty good son. And so Mary turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus does something very interesting at this point. Jesus turns to these big jugs that hold water. And Jesus tells the servants to fill these jugs up with water. And by the way, these jugs weren't just ordinary jugs. They held 20 to 30 gallons of water. They were used during a Jewish purification ceremony. They represented the old order, the old way of living, the old life of guilt and shame. So Jesus takes these ancient symbols, these water jars, and says, fill them up with water. It is not long that until they are filled, and when they open them back up, the water had turned into wine. Jesus takes an ancient symbol and turns it into something brand new. And he does this in order to show his disciples and those around him that God can take anything old, anything new, and transform it into something amazingly powerful and different. It does not matter how old or how young we are. No matter whether we are male or female, God can take us just as we are, God can use us to create in us something miraculous, something God can use mightily for God's wonderful kingdom. C.S. Lewis talks about Jesus' turning water into wine. And what C.S. Lewis basically says is that Jesus didn't do anything in this passage that nature itself doesn't do. In other words, water causes the wine, the vine to grow, and the vine grows and grapes are produced from the vine. Grapes are then taken and crushed into juice and then later fermented and turned into wine. All Jesus did in this passage is that he caused this process to happen a little bit faster. And it reminds me of this great truth. God is the master of taking the ordinary, everyday thing and turning it into something extraordinary. God in our lives can take all those weaknesses, all those hang-ups that we have, all those stumbling blocks, all those hanging howevers, and create something amazing out of them. And so our passage continues on. And we see that Jesus, in turning the water into wine, does something very important for the host of the wedding. In the first century, if the host or hostess ran out of wine, they would have been really looked down upon by their peers. They would even run the risk of being social outcasts. So not only does Jesus take water and turn it into wine, but he saves their reputation. We are told that the wine was the best wine that they had at the whole party. Normally, people would serve the best wine first, but Jesus saved the best for last. Not only does Jesus save the day, but Jesus makes the day even more special. What are we dealing with? What are you dealing with? What tragedies or circumstances are causing you grief and anxiety? As people who believe Jesus can turn water into wine, we have a marvelous hope that somehow, some way, God will do a beautiful thing in our lives. I think a key to this passage hinges on the little line that Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." In other words, I think the key to turning water into wine and sad stories into beautiful miracles is that as people of faith, we are to listen for the word of God. And when we hear it, we do whatever it says. Then we are to go and to work in the world in such a way that Jesus' power flows through us and spills out unto us. And in doing this, we might just find that our hanging howevers or our I love Jesus but vanishes miraculously and is swallowed up by God's transforming love and grace. I have told this story before, but it is so appropriate for today. It is about a mother who wanted so badly for her son to become a great piano player. And so she took him to a piano concert where one of the greatest pianists in the world was performing, hoping that this would inspire her little boy to fulfill her dreams for him. And so they were sitting in their seats waiting for the concert to begin, and the mother got distracted speaking to an old friend who was sitting close by her. And when she had finally turned back to her seat, her son was no longer there. And she wondered, where in the world did he go? The concert was just about to begin, and she looked up on the stage, and there on the stage was her little boy. He'd somehow gotten to the front, climbed up on the stage, and was walking, and was now walking with determination toward the grand piano. And the auditorium was packed. And that little boy walked up to the piano, sat down, and started to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And you could begin to hear a few giggles coming from the audience. And then the great pianist walked out on the stage and walked right up to the little boy. Reaching his right hand around him, he begins to fill in the notes to his song. And he takes his left hand and reaches around and begins to play with the little boy, playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The next thing you know is that this beautiful sound fills the auditorium as folks rise to their feet in awe. We don't have to be a maestro at the keyboard, but we have to listen to God playing the notes in order for water to be turned into wine and for our lives to be turned into something beautiful. May we let go of our "I love Jesus, but," or "I love Jesus, however," and instead embrace the words, "Lord, I will do whatever you say." Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you are amazing. You take our lives and you create something beautiful in us and through us. You are the one who orchestrates our lives. And in our frailty, and in our sin, and in our shortcomings, and in our howevers, you take us as we open our lives to you. You take us and you create something beautiful. And we all are in awe of what you do. Continue to transform us, O Lord. Continue to shape and to mold us as your disciples. And may we see, O Lord, what you are seeking to do as you are seeking to bring about your kingdom, your work, your glory in this world. To you be honor and glory, we pray. Amen and amen. How are we going to live our life in these days? May this final song give us a few clues as to how we are to live so God can use me. Number 628. 628. Let us stand.
Sing so God can use me anytime, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing, Lord, use me anywhere, Lord, anytime.
I love Jesus, but. What might be your howevers that's inhibiting you from living your life so God can use you? Take inventory. But even more importantly, allow God to work in you and to do his work, to show his glory, to continue his transforming work in your heart and in your life. And then watch out. Watch out. Because you will continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so give him glory. It is interesting to note, just picture that little boy. I would imagine that little boy who went up to the piano wasn't really doing it perfecto. There were some mistakes and possibly, and maybe the timing was a little better. But along comes the maestro and created something beautiful. We do not have to be perfected in order for God to use us. Sometimes our own butts of needing to be perfect before God can use us stands in the way. God himself knows where we're at, and he fills it all in with the arpeggios in the back and the runs in the fills, arpeggios in the left and the fills on the right, and he creates something beautiful. Let's listen this week and how God is creating music in each and every one of us, and so give him praise. Let's turn to each other and to offer our blessing to one another as we seek to live as true and faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus.